Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's great to have you here. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm also glad that VideoBlocks is our sponsor today. They're the stock image, audio, and video company that I've been using for a little while now. And I'm really pleased with them, and I'll tell you about them soon. But first, I think we need to get into a little bit of help for people. So since we are so close to the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States, that means we are so close to Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, which means televisions, which means 4K televisions. And John, you've been doing a lot of research, and you have some pointers that can help.
I do. In fact, not only have I done a lot of research over the years, but I've completed phase one of my 4K upgrade.
Mm-hmm. So what's phase one?
So phase one is the TV.
Okay.
The new Denon receiver that can pass 4K, mm-hmm. 60 hertz, HDCP, HDR. It can pass the full 4K capability, mm-hmm. from the various devices. And a new Apple TV 4K.
Okay.
What I have not upgraded is the Blu-ray player, which I'll explain if I get time, and the DirecTV, DVR. Mm-hmm. So that will come later. That will come later. Because right now the principal source of 4K content is the internet. So that's phase one for me. And so if one of the listeners is thinking about upgrading, it's good to be mindful that there's lots of pieces in your system. Like, you got to have internet delivery speed of at least 25 megabits per second, mm-hmm. desirable. You got to have awareness of your media player, whether it's a Roku or an Apple TV or a Amazon Fire TV, has to be 4K capable. And since HDR is very popular now and a key component to 4K television, you want to make sure that your media player and your AV receiver, if you use one, and your TV are all HDR10 capable, and possibly Dolby Vision for future proofing. Some devices claim Dolby Vision but require a software upgrade. Mm-hmm. There are three major HDRs, high dynamic range capabilities. There's HDR10, which is pretty universal. I don't think you can buy a modern TV at Christmas or Thanksgiving in 2017 without HDR10.
And that's something that Apple TV supports, right?
That's right. And 10 stands for 10-bit color. So independent of the resolution of the TV, the 10-bit color as opposed to the 8-bit color of your old high-definition TV is important for the richness of the colors.
Okay.
And then there's Dolby Vision, and then there's Hybrid Log Gamma, which is for broadcast effects of high dynamic range. So what you want to do is you want to sit down and map out, maybe on a piece of paper, the equipment and the data flow of your new system, and then make sure that each one of the components in that system, in that flow from the cable outlet on your wall to your picture on the display, supports the features that you want. Because you don't want to have a problem like I did in 2007, where my receiver only passed 1080i. And my TV had to do the de-interlacing. That was okay, but it was annoying that my receiver could only handle 1080i and not 1080p. So it's annoying when you don't do enough research and you don't make sure that your system is fully capable of passing all the protocols, HDCP 2.2, that's the encryption copy protection, and HDMI 2.0a. You don't have to worry about HDMI 2.1. That's future. That's 8K. We don't need that right now. But you do need HDMI 2.0a passed all the way through your various devices.
Okay, so if you don't have HDMI What was that spec again?
2.0A.
2.0A.
A gives you the high dynamic range. So HDMI 2.0, which you might find on some discount devices, maybe lingering around on Amazon at Christmas. You want to be careful that you've read the review of the product. Sometimes manufacturers give you really great discount prices on modern equipment, but sometimes filtered in there, there'll be really outrageous discounts on equipment that's a year or two old. And then you'll find yourself in a situation where it doesn't support everything that you would aspire to do. And this system will be around for a long time, so you want to make sure it's future-proofed and not roadblocked.
So in this case, what you'd end up with is something where you can still see the image on your television. It's just not going to look as good as you expect because you don't have the full color range available to you. Is that correct?
Well, not quite. I mean, if you want to have HDR, which is important for modern TVs, you want to make sure that you have that HDMI 2.0A protocol starting from your Apple TV or your Roku through your Denon receiver, if you use Denon, through your audio video receiver, if you use one, mm-hmm. and then onto the TV you select. So it's a question of figuring out what protocols you want. Most 4K TVs are 10-bit color, so you want to make sure your systems are capable of passing that. You don't want to have any filters. Another thing you want to look for is sometimes these 8 audio video receivers will only pass the fullest, most capable protocol on a couple of ports. And if you have 3 devices and only 2 of the ports are qualified for the highest performance, then that's a problem. So the manufacturers will sometimes slip in that there's 4 HDMI ports in the receiver, but only 2 of them are capable of the very highest performance. So you want to watch for that. You also want to watch for the input on your 4K TV. The manufacturers do the same thing. On my Sony, it has 4 HDMI ports in, but only number 2 and 3 are special. 2 and 3 have the highest capability, 4K, 60 hertz, HDR, Chroma 444. The other ports are capable of HDMI, but not the full highest level of performance. And so if you plug into the wrong port on your TV, you may have trouble with your Apple TV seeing the highest performance of the TV. And then what will happen is when you go to your settings and your video settings on the Apple TV, mm-hmm. you'll get stuck and it'll say, okay, you can do 4K, but you can only do SDR, standard dynamic range. Or you can do 4K and you can do HDR, but I can't push 60 hertz through. I can only push 30 through. Because what it sees on the TV side, the Apple TV is pretty smart about figuring out what the TV's capabilities are and will only push through what the TV can absorb. So if the TV is on the wrong port, or you bought a TV with less capability than you had hoped for, then the Apple TV isn't going to give you everything it's capable of delivering.
Holy crap. Okay, so here's what I'm hearing right now. Picking out the right 4K television is a lot more complicated than I thought. It's not as simple as going to your favorite electronics store or online, whatever, and saying, okay, so I need 4 HDMI ports. This one has it. I like the color on the screen, so we're set. There's a lot more that goes into this.
And if you've got a high definition system and you bought your cables in 2008, 9, 10, you probably need Level 2 premium cables to pass through the highest performance. The Apple TV is sensitive to the quality of the cable. In fact, there's a cable check on the Apple TV 4K. And if you don't have cables that are rated for the full 18 gigahertz bandwidth, Apple TV will drop back to maybe a lower chroma or a lower refresh rate. You don't want that. So
that sucks.
Getting very good cables. You don't have to pay a lot of money, but you should make sure they're level 2 premium.
Okay, so when the day comes that I have to buy a 4K TV, not only do I need to make sure that I get all the right ports supporting the right protocols, but I also have to make sure that the cables that I'm using are acceptable as well. So the HDMI cables that I have today may not work the way I expect with a 4K TV and Apple TV 4K down the road.
And one more thing I want to get in, and that is the first thing I learned when I got my 4K TV, it's a Sony OLED is that high definition content at 2K scaled up to 4K looks very good. The Sonys have very good scalers. And so when you read about 4K and you read about websites like real or fake 4K, and you read about how, you know, you gotta watch out that you're getting real 4K content and not 2K, I would defy the average consumer to tell the difference between 4K content that was sourced as 4K and very good 2K content that was upscaled with a good scaler. It's very hard. So that's the first thing I learned, is we've enjoyed watching our DirecTV and the Blu-ray player with 2K content. It looks spectacular on a 4K TV because the scaler is so good. So that's something to be aware of too. That's why I'm only in phase one and I'm not in a real rush for a 4K Blu-ray player.
Okay. So this is a lot of information. And, well, it could be overwhelming. I'm glad that you have an article coming today that it details all of this as well. So we'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes as soon as the piece goes live, so that there'll be a reference for everyone to go back to. And,
great.
And thank you, John, for going to all the trouble to figure all of this stuff out. And when the day comes that I have to replace my television and get a 4K TV, you know I'm calling you.
Absolutely. You better.
Of course I will. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlox. And I've been using VideoBlox for a little while now for the video and image stock content that I need for the various projects I'm working on. I've been using some of their stock images in articles on Mac Observer. So if you poke around, you'll be able to find some VideoBlox content in the graphics that I've made. What I love about VideoBlox is that they have just tons of high quality images, video, audio clips to choose from, and when you find what you need, it's not this long drawn out process. And instead, it starts with the basic search you want to do. Like one of the things that I did was a search on Colorado mountains. And once I did that, I mean, I had an overwhelming number of videos to choose from. So across the top of the screen, you have these filters, so you can narrow down based on topics or subject matter. So what I did was I chose snow-covered mountains, and I was able to narrow down to what I wanted, and I ended up with this really cool little flyby of it was a drone shot going up a frozen mountain stream, and you had all of the light reflecting off of the ice crystals in the snow and in the water, and this beautiful sky as you're looking up towards the summit of the mountain, which is exactly the sort of thing I was looking for, and it was really easy to find. So I just love how they have all this great content. You don't have to spend forever trying to find just the shot you want, and it's not expensive. So it costs $149 a year for one of their services. So you can pay $149 for the video, for the audio, or the images. And then you get all the content. It's unlimited downloads, and it's all royalty-free. So you can find what you want. You can use it in your personal and commercial projects, no problem. And it's just fantastic. So it gets better, though, because you listen to Daily Observations. And the VideoBlox team thinks that's pretty cool. So they have a deal just for you. And here's how you get it. Go to their website, videoblox.com/TDO. And when you do that, you can take advantage of their triple bundle, which is the video, audio, and images, all for $149 a year. So pay what you would normally pay for one of their services, and you get all three for the whole year. And the same deal applies. It's royalty-free, as much as you can download, so unlimited downloads, and it's just awesome. The only constraint you have is that you have to do this before the end of December. So the deal's good November and December, and then after that, it's back to $149 per service. So take advantage of this now so that you can get all of this content for a much better price. So here's what you need to do. Go to videoblocks.com/TDO to get all the stock video, audio, and images that you can imagine for just $149. That's videoblocks, VideoBlocks.com/TDO. Videoblocks.com/TDO. And it's an awesome deal. Go check it out. And thank you, VideoBlocks, for being our sponsor. Okay. So since we are so close to the Thanksgiving holiday, which in the United States is sort of like a transition point from the regular year to the holiday season year. So we end up spending a lot of time with family and friends at different events, and it means there's a lot of photos that end up happening. And our cameras of choice anymore seem to be our iPhones. So I thought we might share a few tips on how to get the best photos at our holiday gatherings with our iPhones so that we'll have great memories instead of blurry pictures. And John, before the show started, you mentioned an app that you think is great for helping get good photos. And what was that?
It was Camera Plus. Mm-hmm. Well, with a plus sign at the end and not a PLUS.
Yep.
I think I think I downloaded that because my wife was taking a photography class and I discovered that I couldn't manually adjust the ISO like she was doing with her Nikon in her photography class. And she had learned all about setting the ISO for various conditions and doing the manual settings for aperture and speed. Mm-hmm. And so when I found out that the camera app on the iPhone that's native didn't have that, I looked around for Camera Plus, and I discovered it has some nice features. It has the ability to set different regions for the focus and for the color sensitivity, mm-hmm. For the exposure sensitivity. So it's just got a few more features than the standard camera app that comes with the iPhone. So it's pretty cool. And I don't remember how much I paid for it, or if anything, but it's...
Camera Plus... It's maybe not expensive.
It's $2, $3, something like that. And it's a worthy addition to your camera portfolio.
I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. And John, you mentioned being able to adjust focus and exposure, things like that. There is a way to do that in the native camera app, although it's not as granularly detailed is what you can do with Camera Plus. So if you know what you want to be the focal point of your shot, tap on that in the viewfinder in the camera app, and it shifts the focus to there, and it adjusts the exposure for what it's looking at right there. So this is a trick that I use when I'm outdoors a lot. If I need to make sure that my sky isn't blown out in a photo, what I'll do is tap in the sky. And now it sets my exposure based on the sky. And as long as it doesn't make everything else way too dark when I snap the photo, then I have a much higher likelihood of getting a shot where the sky and everything else looks good too.
If you tap that little sun symbol to the right, you can manually slide up and down for the exposure too.
That's right. Yep. So you do have a little more control over your exposure there too. Yep. And since that's just built into the camera app that comes on your iPhone, if you're not all excited about paying $2, $3, $4 for another camera app, well, there you go. That's a nice option. Andrew, you spend a lot of time looking at photography apps, and you take some great shots. So do you have any suggestions? Mm-hmm.
So I pulled up a couple articles I wrote just to get some ideas. Mm-hmm. And one idea I have is if you're going to be taking pictures of your Thanksgiving dinner, you could pull up a photo editing app and you could do things like boost the saturation just a little bit. You can change the tones to make it a bit warmer. because that tends to make food pictures look better and more appetizing. Mm-hmm. So that's just one suggestion.
So you can make the food look better than it tastes in some cases.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So what I'm going to do, the articles that you brought up for your own memory, I'm going mm-hmm. to include links to those in today's show notes as well. So people will have a quick reference for some of your photography tips, which I think are fantastic. So I'm glad that you take the time to put these pieces together. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing them.
So we're out of time, but if you have another quick tip that you want to share, Andrew, hit me with it.
Actually, I do.
Cool.
So depending on how early people put up their Christmas decorations, if you have Christmas lights or a Christmas tree up, you could use portrait mode and get those lights in the background and get a really good bokeh effect, and that would look nice.
Okay, so portrait mode, that's something you can do with the iPhone 7 Plus, iPhone 8 Plus, and the iPhone 10, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Well, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And John, thanks for being here as well.
You're welcome. It was great to be here.
It's a lot of fun having you guys on the show, so I really do appreciate it. And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, and take advantage of that triple bundle, $149 for their stock video, stock audio, and stock image services for a whole year, unlimited downloads. Just make sure you do it before the end of December, so don't procrastinate on this one. And listeners, thank you for being here. It's always great to share part of the day with you. We'll see you again tomorrow.